Reading from the second chapter of Jiva Dharma. Om Jnana Timurandasya Tananjana Shilakaya Akshur Murtam Yena Tismai Shri Gurve Maha Diketanya Mano Bhishtam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Sayamru Pukedamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kupashindu Bayedusha Patitanam Pavanebhyo. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kupashindu Bayedusha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we'll read and then I'll explain. Sri Chaitanya Dev instructed the world to taste Prem. So this is Prem Das Babaji. And he's answering the question of Sannyas Thakur. Is Mahabhav different from the attainment of absolute oneness, Advaita Siddhi? So this is the end of his answer, then I'll give a summary of how he answers it. Sri Chaitanya Dev instructed the world to taste prema, and he personally taught it by his transcendental behavior and activity. This prema is completely beyond the jurisdiction of Maya, and it is the highest development of the unalloyed state of perfect oneness, Advaita Siddhi. The state known as Mahabhav is a special transformation of this prema, in which Premananda is extraordinarily powerful. Consequently, both the separateness, and intimate relation of the lover and the beloved are transported to an unprecedented state. The inconsequential theory of Mayavada is useless for understanding the subject matter of praying in any of its stages. Om Jnana Timurandasya Tananjana Sarataya Taksur Murtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Maha. I guess I said that already. Okay. So greetings from New York City. I did a nice program at the Bhakti Center, the Tuesday night program. And it's just so wonderful. I mean, a small fraction, I guess, of the overall amount of people that are coming to Krishna Consciousness. Still, the place was filled. And I undertook the difficult task of explaining Prema Bhakti because I felt that there were enough people that were mature in Krishna consciousness, even some godbrothers and godsisters, that I really wanted to explain something about the love of Krishna and his intimate associates. At the same time, there were new people there. So it was a challenge, but it worked out well. It was such a wonderful mood. Really appreciated everything, yeah. So let's go back here to this wonderful novel, Jiva Dharma. As you remember, there's a great saint, Prem Das Babaji. He's chanting not less than 2 lakhs of rounds a day with Bob. His chanting is from his prema, or heart. And therefore, the name that he chants is the fullest manifestation of Krishna. And when you combine the bhava of the heart with the fullest manifestation of Krishna, it's a very devotional, ecstatic, and humble state. And the Jivadharma is stories of various people by the transcendental system get linked up with him. Transcendental system is that God is the super soul in everyone's heart. And when someone comes to a point of some type of sincerity, that they have faith that the highest sublimity somehow it lies in serving something much greater than themselves, then they may be directed and the world may move in a way that they may meet some great soul who can enlighten them. It's inexplicable, really, how this happens. It's the greatest fortune. I know my own story, which maybe is a good way to keep people up, even keep me up. I went out on Hari Nam today. I was a little bit fatigued and tired, but I was traveling in California, and by chance, a friend of mine got a card to come to a Sunday feast. We went to a Sunday feast. We had, I remember it like it was yesterday, such a wonderful spiritual experience there. Like many people, it was, well, the combination of the holy name and the prasadam. We could see that there was some sublimity. So somehow, me and my friends, we were four of us, we had this old car. We were going to drive up Highway 1 to go on a little pilgrimage. We were in Los Angeles at the time to San Francisco. And we went to a Chinese restaurant where the attractive part, those of you that are not from New York will not understand this, was that the waiter, the Chinese waiter, insulted the patrons. Anyway, we got out of the restaurant and the devotees were chanting the Hari Nam on the street. And suddenly I spontaneously joined the Hari Nam. I remember like yesterday. And I joined it. And then we needed to find a place to stay, and we didn't have any place to stay. And we called up various leads that we got. And one person said to us that you can sleep in a parking lot across from our house apartment, and you can use my bathroom. So we pulled the station wagon into this parking lot on Frederick Street. It was Kazar Stadium. It was the football stadium, but it was on Frederick Street. The back of some stores faced the parking lot. And when we pulled in, I could see, like, just the incense and the smoke. I guess the back room was their kitchen. And the robes. And we saw people, so we yelled out, "Haribo!" And then two devotees, both happened to be from Brooklyn, I don't know, they looked out the window and they saw us about 25 yards away. And said, "Ah, Krishna's brought us four. Have some prasadam." And it was chickpeas and raisins and peanuts. then we started going into the temple. But the point is that when I saw it, I thought that everyone in this city is into this, because the first place we stopped is the Chinese restaurant, the next place we stopped is the next place we stopped is this place. But no, it's the transcendental system, somehow or other, some force greater than ourselves put us together. By mercy of Krishna. So in this flower garden, you know, a forest area and little kunjas where the trees make little spaces, this Bhavadi wanted to be alone in a secluded place without any distraction and chant the holy name. And in that way, fully realize his nature as a part of God. And when you become realized, you see reality. And reality is Krishna. And when we see Krishna and experience God everywhere, it draws out our natural attraction, and that's called prema. Anyway, in this little, so we're now following this story, different people come, but this Mayavadi Sannyasi is common. He somehow met devotees in his meditation. He saw some highly advanced devotees, and it sparked something in his heart, a different type of faith, that faith for the sublimity of service. Bhakti is the faith in service, not the faith in being served. Faith in being the servant, not the faith in being the controller. Being out by your shashu pakalab atmiyugaj and amandasa. Present age is surcharged with opposition because it is trying to condition us to search for the sublimity of control rather than the sublimity of service. Therefore, these samskaras are so deeply within us, even the devotees. Unless we shift that consciousness by sincerely surrendering to a pure devotee of Krishna, sincerely surrendering to Krishna, and therefore changing that identity with that commitment and with that surrender, changing that identity. I am now servant of Guru and Krishna. Changing that identity. Anyway, this Sannyas Thakur, he comes and he asks the question. He's confused because Dharma, our duty should be one because we are equal particles of consciousness. He says, why is there so many dharmas? And he explains that actually Dharma is one. The Dharma of the soul is one. The function of the soul is one. And it's the function of every soul to serve Krishna. But because the soul is embodied due to its karma, to its previous activities, and desires, it's conditioned by a particular body. And the false ego, the hankara, channels and shapes the consciousness in a way that it's limited to the particular karmic body one has. In the mood, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And And therefore, because we have that conditioning, we have duties that are based on that conditioning, cognizant of the force of the attachment and desires we have. And therefore, we have duties that are to purify us and bring us closer, based on the body. But they are naimittika dharma. They are occasional dharmas. They're not the eternal dharma, the dharma of the soul to serve Krishna, which is eternal. It's always our dharma because that's what we are. And the guna, the karma, our qualities, our karma, our activities, temporary. But we have to be cognizant of it because we have to work through it. So therefore, he gives, Prayadas Babaji gives such a beautiful answer. That yes, there is one dharma on the basis of the soul. But on the basis of your particular identity, you also have other duties and relationships that magnetics are. Basically, in this discussion of dharma, he's going to explain three things. There's nitya dharma, our eternal nature. There's naimittika dharma, religious duties based on our circumstance. And then there is anitya dharma. There's dharma that's actually never our dharma. There's activities that are religions that are actually just atheistic. Then he digests all this. He's thinking about this. We explained before. This is why it's so important, these classes, that we hear good ideas from Shastra. And if we dwell on them and we understand them, then we can make them into good thoughts. And if we act on them, we can develop strong samskaras, habits and impressions, actually, dasana. Clusters of samskaras or habits, good habits, desire to do things that mold the mind in the proper way. So he reflects on it and he comes back to his teacher and he asks further questions. And this is the relationship. Because real truth, what a teacher does is he tries to explain things according to our frame of reference and explain things in such a way that we understand things beyond our frame of reference. But one must be thoughtful. One must find a teacher they trust and then try to understand what they say, which includes doubts. Doubts whether I've understood what they've said, because it doesn't seem to make sense. So he comes back the next day, and he asks the question, if the jiva, or the soul, is infinitesimal, how can the eternal dharma be full and pure? And the answer was given is, although the jiva is infinitesimal, but because its eternal function is in relationship to that which is infinite, in connection with that, its real function becomes full. Just as a spark, when connected to the fire, the spark has the potential to have the energy of the fire when connected. So wonderful. When we connect, and what is that connection? That connection is service. That's our connection. We're connected to God by service, as much as the hand is connected to the body by service. And when the hand is connected to the body, the hand has the full energy of the body. When the hand is connected to the body, it has the full energy of the body. When we're connected to God, we have the power of the divine. And then he asked another question, and if the natural function of the jiva is formed at the time he is constituted, how can that function be eternal? If we're coming from God, and our function is manifest upon our creation, then how can the function be eternal? So that question he hasn't answered yet. And now he's gone to another question, which he'll answer directly. Is Mahabhav, and what is Mahabhav? There is the essence of the Ladini Shakti, or the pleasure potency of God. The essence is Krishna Prem. And when that Krishna Prem is heightened fully, that love of God, that's Mahabhav. So that's the most intense, pleasurable, loving experience. It's overwhelming. So how is that different from the attainment of Advaita city, of realizing that you're one with God? So that was the discussion, which we didn't finish last time, where this Premdas Babaji describes the origins of this Advaita Vedanta, the conception that reality must be undifferentiated oneness, that Brahman is that which unites and supports and sustains everything. That's God. So and it's eternal. So how can it have transforming energy? Because it has transforming energies, at least what they'll say, that is not eternal. Of course, our understanding is God has inconceivable potencies. So why can't he remain eternal and have unlimited power and energy at the same time? But that's another question. So he says this philosophy, everything is one without any differentiation or distinction. Therefore, there's no transformation of energy. Absolute oneness. Absolute oneness means that any transformation must be an illusion. If that's your conception of reality, absolute oneness, then there can't be any distinction in any part of reality. And then you have distinctions. You no longer have Advaita. Advaita means not two. You have two. You have some distinction. Anyway, he explains about Shankaracharya,
who is the founder of this Advaita God, and he says that he's actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva, and that he, I love this, it's from teachings of Lord Chaitanya, his teachings were a timely necessity and not an absolute fact. And then Premdas Babaji describes the historical context of Shankaracharya. And we've heard this also from Prabhupada, that there are sanctions for cow, for animal slaughter, not cows, in the Vedic literatures to purify people who can't give up this habit by bringing them into a association of ritualistic priests who can perform this with mantras that awaken within them the understanding of karma and so many things. But it's sanctioned, but when you make the sanction, the rule, then on the basis of this, we know how people say, such and such said, without understanding the Shastra in context, then you misunderstand it. Everything is understood in context. And a Vaishnav, or a real scholar, understands the context in which things are said. And without understanding the context in which things are said, you really can't understand what things are said. Because things are always spoken in a context. And to understand them and understand their meaning, you have to know the context. So when people want to justify and support their own attachments with the authority of Shastra, they take things out of context, and therefore skew a different meaning from it was understood contextually. So this happened, and in the name, therefore, the Vedas, slaughterhouses were opened up all over India, and then Krishna appeared again as Lord Buddha. He appeared as Lord Buddha, who, to stop animal slaughter, out and outright preached Shunyavad, voidism. So, that also is a timely necessity, Buddhism. Because the first principle of spiritual life has to be ahimsa. The spiritual life needs to control the mind. And if you can't control the mind in relationship to others, which is the grossest manifestation of being uncontrolled, you really can't proceed further in spiritual life. The Buddha had to reject the Vedas to check the abuse and misuse of the Vedas. How many things are done in the name of religion without actually understanding the context and the depth of thought. So the Buddhists and Shankaracharya appeared, and to get people back to the Vedas, which is so essential to guide people's lives in all spheres of life, to acculturate them to to spiritual life. So he drove out the Buddhists from India. But he established a doctrine of impersonalism. Now, what Prem Das Babaji is going to explain is that people didn't understand Shankaracharya. That one thing, that the oneness that he professed was ultimately really misunderstood as undifferentiated oneness, but it was a unity in function. But in one sense, at least the philosophy of transcending limited material conceptions was basically the same. In direction away from materialism, but not guided in the direction of God, prema. And therefore, you conclude that prema means there's unity, but God also has, he's not impersonal. He's not without energy. And the prime energy is the energy of love. And therefore, Mahabhav, which is the deepest sense of love of Godhead, requires there must be an object of love, a subject of love, and that energy of love itself. And therefore, in the absolute realm, there's a certain separateness for love and for the intimacy of union. And therefore, the impersonalist philosophy does not accommodate that. So in answer to his question, he's telling this Prem Das Babaji that Shankaracharya had a function, and his steering away people from materialism is akin to devotion. But the goal is different, because Mahabhav is prema, and impersonalist philosophy denies that there is a separate God. It's separate and one. And the example I give, and I think it's a clear example of the body, you can point to the hand and say it's the body. You can point to the knee, you can say it's the body. You can point to the toe and say this is the body. They are absolutely one, but at the same time there is distinction for a particular function. So the absolute reality has the function of love. And therefore, it has parts, and it has a certain separateness, not an absolute separateness, a qualified separateness for the purpose of love. And therefore, he's saying that therefore, this Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya is inconsequential, because it doesn't reach the state of love. And he explained that Shankaracharya hinted at the path of devotion, and his followers really did not understand it. If he said Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, this worship Govinda, worship Govinda. So now he's answered that question in Santat Sanyas Thakur's head. with great reverence, O Prabhu, my heart is deeply pierced with the realization that the Mayavad doctrine is most insignificant. It is the Mayavadis. Today you have mercifully dispelled whatever lingering doubts I had in this regard. I feel a strong desire to give up wearing this Mayavad sannyas scarf. He's wearing the red robes of a Mayavad, and the Babaji's wear this Babaji vesh, this white cloth, to signify that ultimately pure devotion is beyond one ashram and sannyas and all these. They're at those things. So now he wants to change his dress. He does not want to be represented in that way. So it's very interesting. He wants to give up the dress. And Babaji Mahasai says, I never give instructions on external dress. When the Dharma, the spiritual function of the heart, becomes purified, the external dress will be set right easily and naturally. The change of dress does not mean the change of consciousness, but rather the change of consciousness may entail a change of dress. Where there is too much concern for external appearance, there is an inattention to the soul's inner function. You put on the dress and you shave the head and you think, I am the devotee. That's not enough. Devotion is an inner change. A sharanagata, the door opens. I am surrendered to the service of the Lord. If that's my function and that's my shelter, and you have faith in service, you have faith in taking shelter and surrendering. So he doesn't want this artificial change. All of a sudden, I am a sannyasi. One day I'm this, and then the next day I have a stick, a danda, a rod, and a dress. Now I'm more advanced. So it doesn't work that way. The dress doesn't make you renounced and learned. But rather, if you renounce and learn, you'll get the dress. I was thinking this in the beginning days of the movement after Prabhupada left. There were 11 acharyas, 11 gurus. And I remember being with them, you know, one day, and the next day they're designated as gurus. They had a meeting at Mayapur and said that, you know, now these people are gurus. And all of a sudden, in the truly, the assumption was, because the designation changed, the consciousness changed. I am higher because I have this position. I am higher because I have this responsibility. Not I'm higher because I don't feel higher. I'm higher because I have consciousness of spirituality. So there's so many gems of instructions in Jivadharma. So he said, no, when there is too much concern for the external appearance, there is an attention to the soul's inner function. When your heart becomes pure, you will automatically develop attachment to the external behavior of the Vaishnava. And there will be no fault if you change your external dress. Absorb your heart completely in trying to follow the teachings of Sri Chaitanya. And later, you may adopt the external items of Vaishnava Dharma to which you are naturally inclined. So follow the teaching. Follow the heart. Don't think when you shave your head, you're a devotee. I remember when I first came to the temple, I had a mustache, and I was staying for 3 days, and I was doing service. I tell this story, and then Prabhupada came. And when Prabhupada came, when Prabhupada came. I told the story many times. He sent message. Everyone should go to his room and get these two sweets. He was going to give everybody two rat schoolers. It was so beautiful. 150 people lining up. So they said everyone come to Prabhupada's room. All the devotees. And I said, can I also come? Because I didn't think I was a devotee. Because I had a mustache. It wasn't the dress of a devotee. And they said, no, you can also come. They didn't say I was a devotee. So, too much concern for the external dress, the extent of the identification internally. When I have a shaved head, I'm more advanced. I wear a dhoti, I'm more advanced. If it is a product of the internal, and because I have this internal mood of devotion, I want to dress in a simple way. But if the consciousness, which often is, when I do this, I become a devotee. And Prabhupada says you should always remember this instruction of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 16, 238-239. Makata Vairagya Nakari Loka Devana Yata Yogya Vishaya Bhunja Anasapta Haya. Do not adopt Makata Vairagya, external renunciation, monkey renunciation, simply to impress the general populace. You should accept without attachment whatever sense objects are appropriate to maintaining your devotional service and give up all material desires within your heart. Internally develop staunch faith in Sri Krishna and externally carry out your worldly responsibilities in a way that no one can detect your inner mood. If you act like this, Krishna will quickly deliver you from material existence. Raghunath Das Goswami. He really was eternally deep, and he wanted to. He wanted to leave the world, but Lord Chaitanya wouldn't let him to leave the world, because he wanted to show that the external thing is not important. What's important is the internal thing. And too many people get that wrong. It's not that at the age of 50 I will take sannyas and now I will change. No, you are changed and therefore you will take sannyas. Otherwise, it's Madhukata Vairagya, monkey renunciation. Monkeys wear little clothes, eat leaves, have sex life all day. It's real internal renunciation. And also to show that, Raghunath Das Goswami showing the example, that devotional service is not for losers. It's not because someone can't make it in the world, which in India it happens. People don't make it in the world and they just become so-called sadhus. But remember one sadhu I knew, he said, what's the difference between a sadhu and a hippie? He said, the sadhus take bath. Otherwise, there's no difference. Smoking ganja, wandering around, not working. It's a different consciousness. Is such a wonderful point. Okay, are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
You answered two, or Prem-Dasavaji, he answered two of Sannyasa Thakur's questions, and then the third one he was going to get to later. Can you repeat what the fourth one that he did answer? I wasn't clear what that was.
Is Mahabhava different from the attainment of Advaita, absolute oneness in Advaita Siddhi?
Yeah, I don't understand this question, really.
He wanted to know, is it different?
Mahabhava and Advaita Siddhi.
Yeah, because he was a Mayavadi.
Yeah.
He was a Mayavadi sannyasi, so he's asking the question now, is there a difference between these states of attainment? Yeah. You don't understand that question?
But Mahabhava it refers to the highest form of love.
Right, he didn't understand there was a difference. He didn't know what it was. He didn't understand what it was, and therefore he was.
Oh, he just wanted to.
Yeah.
Basically, he wanted to know what it was, Mahabhava.
He wanted to know if it was different. Because, you know, you're talking about high states that people have an experience. He wants to know, is there any difference between that attainment? He didn't understand.
I don't know. Somehow I don't understand what he didn't understand.
He didn't understand what Mahabhava was. And therefore, he didn't understand if it was different from the attainment that he was trying to get previously.
That everything is one.
Not just one, but the feeling of it. All right, think about it. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Dagrani.
Okay, we're coming over to your house soon. Looking forward to it. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else? Okay, we'll end there for today. Gunshukopa to the district.